Hey, this is Steve Bloom, and you are listening to the Geekcast Radio Network.
Hello and welcome to Altered Geek. This episode unfortunately had many technical difficulties between my furnace running, the overall call recorder not working, Danner's audio not being captured, and some random clicking and popping in there. I have no idea. This episode was evidently not meant to be released or didn't want to be released. So sorry for the crude edits that are here. It was almost going to be a lost episode, but I think I can salvage it somewhat. It's still listenable. There's still good content in there. Unfortunately, all the stuff that has to do with Danner, I had to cut because nobody would understand the conversation because it would be highly one-sided. So this episode is irregularly short. Again, we apologize, and hopefully next time we don't have the same technical difficulties, and we'll do a little bit better testing before we start recording. So on with the show.
Radio edit.
Hello and welcome to Altered Geek Unlimited, episode 22. I'm your host, as always, Steve Megatron Phillips, and joining me this week is Mike Booth Ninja Powers. What is new?
Well, I don't know. Not a whole lot's changed for me since last week, other than just coming up for new ideas for the show and taking some suggestions under advisement. But we're going to tease one of the new things that we're going to try out at the end of this show. But other than that, I haven't really been doing anything.
I beat Arkham Origins on game and or on normal and game plus mode, and I've been going through playing the training missions as or campaigns or whatever the heck they call them in this one. Pretty much trying to get the three trophies for everything, and if I can, and I'm not really worrying about it if I do or don't, because I've pretty much got it beat and I'm waiting for the expansion. Other than that, I've been messing with site stuff and trying to gear up for the GCRN awards.
Yeah, we've been doing that over on Off the Cuff. We've been teasing our, well, on the most recent episode, we've been teasing what may or may not be on our, what may or may not be up on our Game of the Year lists. If anyone can guess what tone that was, you're more than welcome to find out what that is. Actually, Danner, just for S&Gs, if you want to do it one more time so they can get a listen to it. Okay. So if any of the listeners know what that tone is, points to you. Steve, do you know what it is?
Sounds like a Star Trek sound effect.
It is not Star Trek, but we'll see if a listener knows what it is, and I'll let everyone know what it is was on the next episode. Anyways, so do we want to jump into TV?
Sure.
So I've been trying to think of the best way to tackle this because we've never really done an all TV conversation before. We kind of just breezed over it, but I was wondering if we could go around and maybe say what maybe the best Steve and I have mentioned this before, but just so people have a bar for what to judge our stuff by, what you would want to say like your favorite animation, your favorite animated TV show is, and what your favorite live action TV show is, and maybe not so much favorite, but what you think the best animated TV shows and the best live action stuff, because sometimes the best isn't the same thing as your favorite. All right, Steve, I have a guess. Batman the Animated Series.
For my favorite of all time TV show? I don't know. That's still that one's always such a tricky one with me. for animated series. I can't ever decide if it's Batman the Animated Series or if it's Beast Wars.
Hmm.
I like them both in different ways, so it's very difficult for me to choose. But
gun to your head.
Almost have to argue.
And no one ever gets to find out.
I would probably say Batman the Animated Series overall. Just it ran a lot longer if you count all the Timverse kind of stuff. So
right.
So I'd say that.
Plus, I think Batman the Animated Series. I mean, you did mention the if you add in all the Timverse stuff. In that respect, I think Batman the Animated Series, the groundwork that it laid was actually so rich it was able to spawn an entire universe. And I, at least as far as I know, and I could be wrong because I'm not the biggest Transformers guy, but it seems like Beast Wars is almost a thing unto itself. I know there's like Beast Machines, but does that ever run into like any other?
It touches on some of the original TFG1 and Beast Wars continuity. It didn't start out that way. But they did eventually tie it all back in.
Okay.
It was just... It's one of those convoluted afterthoughts that a lot of shows tend to fall into.
Okay. Live-action TV show?
Live-action TV show, that one's tough for me, only because I like a lot of shows that are on right now. Some of them new, some of them old. And some of them have had some really crappy seasons for the ones that have been on a while.
Supernatural.
And have had some... Yeah. Like two full seasons till they went back to an older showrunner. But I'd probably still argue Supernatural is one of my favorite live action shows just in general because I'm still watching it. I mean, I've got other shows I like where I like certain episodes, but I can't really say I like a series overall enough to watch it week after week and not miss the episodes or to not have to obtain them and then rewatch them after they've aired.
Okay. Well, everyone should know what my two are. So yeah, that show, there's just something, I don't know, maybe it's just like the time that, you know, it hit, you know, when I was on the air and I was actually watching it and stuff like that, but it really grew on me and everything. And it's really interesting because a lot of, actors that were in that have come out into bigger things. Like Minka Kelly went on to the failed Charlie's Angels, and now she's on Almost Human. We can talk about that later because that's not very high on my list. And then there's Taylor Kitsch, who hasn't had a very good film career, but I do think he's a capable actor. But yeah, so those are my two. If you haven't seen them, obviously all these shows are worth checking out. I think the only one that I haven't seen is Buffy because I don't know. I can't tie myself to a couch long enough to watch an episode. But I have no opinion on the show. Like, I'm not going to say it's bad because I haven't seen it. So I don't have an opinion on Buffy. I don't like having opinions on stuff that I don't really know about. So let's see, where can we go with TV about? We can talk about current TV shows. So what are some of the big ones that everyone's watching? We've got Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Almost Human, which we touched on. Anyone else want to throw in with a couple that they're watching? Oh, no judgment here. I'll just come right out in the open and say that I watch Vampire Diaries. There. Now you cannot sink any lower than that. Okay, now you should feel bad.
I think Big Bang Theory ranks highest out of anything that those guys have made at this point.
I actually finally dropped Revenge from my torrent catcher.
Radio edit.
I haven't given up on that yet because it's actually gotten good.
Well, that's going to change once it comes back, trust me.
I don't know. I like Pan.
Well, that Pan's going to have nothing to do with the first 5 episodes that come back.
Well, we'll see what it is. The one that is awful, though, just I can't really put my finger on what's wrong with it, is Once Upon a Time in Wonderland. I'm watching it for the same reason I watched Private Practice for as long as I did. Because it's a tie-in. And it's also the same reason I went back and watched all of Eureka, just so I could get the crossover episodes with Warehouse 13. Steve, have you seen Eureka?
No.
I thought the finale was great. The way it tied all the way back to the first episode, I really appreciated that. I honestly didn't see it coming, but like halfway through the episode, I was like, if this goes out the way I think it's going to go out, that's going to be amazing. It was like the second to last season that they did that, and I actually thought it was pretty... I thought the way that they did it was really interesting, because the show was kind of going off the rails, and I felt like the way that they chose to reset it within the confines of the show, I thought was brilliant. It was just a way to put everything back the way it was supposed to be after it had been derailed, and it played out okay. Yeah, it got a little hokey towards the end, but I feel like it came back around, especially with the finish. Plus, the Christmas episode with the... like the Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer stop motion animation. Steve, you should check these shows out. The first episode is kind of tough to get through because I've tried starting over from the beginning and sometimes I can't even make it through the first episode. I know my wife couldn't even make it through the first episode. It's so dry compared to the rest of the series. Anyways, Steve, what have you been watching?
Well, while you guys were going on about which shows you guys watch, I was trying to compile my list because I've actually been watching a lot of different shows. I've been watching, of course, Once Upon a Time, which I actually like the show, provided that they don't go down some kind of a train wreck road.
Did you like Pan? Because I really did.
I like it. The only thing, and we kind of guessed what was going to happen at the end of the mid-season finale. The only problem with it is, like I said, I read ahead on certain things, so like the next five episodes have nothing to do with that plot. So that's another thing that kind of makes me a little weary on it, because it was such a big chunk of the show.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been watching Almost Human, which that I've been more so catching after the fact, not on actual live showings of it. So it's one of those I'll watch it, but it's not something I have to watch. I enjoy it when I watch it, but I just it's not one of those ones I have to catch every single week. I can skip an episode and not feel like I've missed anything.
I can agree with what Steve's saying, only because there hasn't been any connective story tissue going back to the first episode in anything so far.
That's the enjoyable part of the show. It's just, it's another cop drama just set in the future with an android.
Yeah, I like the show, and I don't want people to jump on me in the comments. I like the show. I like Kennex. I like Dorian. I like the acting. I like the stories that they're telling. I find them interesting. It's almost like someone decided to make Minority Report the series, and that's fine. The only problem is I'm looking at it from another perspective, which is it looks like it's a very expensive show to produce. And I haven't seen the latest episode, so I could be way wrong here, but we're about seven episodes in and there's nothing to invest in other than the character's relationship, but there's nothing to invest in the show. And I honestly was really intrigued by the story that was going on in the pilot about how there's like a mole inside the police force, and you know, there hasn't been like that thing like at the end of an episode where it's like, hey, you got to come over here and see this, blah, blah, blah. There hasn't been any of that stuff. And I'm wondering if they're waiting until they get a second season renewal to start diving into the larger story. But at the same time, it's like, what is there to latch on to for viewers to tune into if you're not going to give them a story that they can latch on to? I mean, I understand that Monster of the Week episodes are a part of every series. I don't think there should be seven episodes without referencing what the larger story was supposed to be. If it was dropped, that's fine, but it's just kind of, I don't know, I'm kind of bummed if we have to wait for it to get renewed for the story to actually show up again. But I think I said it on Facebook with a conversation we're having with a friend. Fringe went on for five seasons just because the network execs liked that show. So maybe Almost Human can get the same kind of love. I don't see it sticking around.
It's on Fox, too.
I know, that's the other problem. I don't see it sticking around if they're not going to give people... That's the problem. I like watching it, but at the same time, I'm like, I want it to stick around. I want it to have a...
meaning.
Yes. Yeah, we're like seven episodes in. It should have been done like an episode ago. So yeah, maybe there is like story stuff in there, but I don't know. So I mean, but yeah, I like we were saying, we like the show. We just want more from it. And this actually leads into something else I want to talk about is about TV in general. As soon as we're done talking about more stuff that we're watching, I know we cut Steve off with the Almost Human discussion.
I'll blitz through a few of them and then I'll actually stop on the ones that I want to talk about more. Of course, I watch Supernatural, I watch Big Bang Theory, Last Man Standing, Revolution, which feels like it's finally getting its footing, and it's gotten interesting for once.
I just hate the main actress still.
Yeah, some about her bothers me, but again, it's a footnote. You got Twilight Dad and you got her, so I mean
That's
it's.
part of the problem I have with the series is the is oh my gosh, I can't remember the guy, the character's name, but yeah, he's the dad from Twilight, and I can't not see him as the dad from Twilight.
Yeah, that's what I see him as.
As awesome, yeah, but see, as awesome as they want to make him out to be, I just can't not see him as the dad from Twilight, which just makes whatever he's doing that much more funny.
It's like he's playing the same character, but he wields a sword.
And he's trying to be badass. I
Yeah,
will
I mean it's the disposition.
say that season two has brought a level of grit to the series that was sorely lacking in the first season.
Well, I think the first season, and they even knew that, they didn't know what the heck they were doing, and plus they brought in a supernatural writer.
Well, but cinematically, the visual style for it was way too aesthetically clean in the first season.
Budget.
Well, everyone had perfect hair and makeup and
now they just look like they just threw them through a dirt patch and said, "Here you go."
they look like they're living in a world without power, rather than, a hairstylist down the street has all the power.
No bath for you. Of course, I've been watching Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Some of the episodes, while they do have plot development, are kind of villain of the week. Although, with the mid-season finale and then the return episode, it has me intrigued again. I don't know if you guys have watched it yet.
See, that's I agree with what you're saying partially, but to me it feels like a Joss Whedon show with unlikable characters. I only like Coulson. I can't stand anybody else.
I can stand all of them but the scientists on the ship.
I think Sky and the guy that wants to be Captain America are the ones that annoy me the most in the series. See, I don't even
Yeah.
know his name, but I just feel like he's always trying to be Captain America, and it's annoying.
I like Sky now that the recent episode.
See, I haven't. I feel really bad because we're trying to have these conversations, and some of us haven't seen the most recent episodes of these.
But it was very revealing, but it was also still vague.
Of course.
And then of course the hashtag of Fury Lies was going across Twitter
Of
afterward,
course,
but
Fury lies. How is that even trending? That's like a
I
given.
know. Well, that was Agent Coulson himself
Hmm.
putting that around too. I smell propaganda and the fact that he'll be probably back at some
I
point.
only hope so.
But it was definitely better, and it gave me a reason to want to watch it again for a while. Hopefully, they actually resolve that before the first season, because I can't see them dragging it on for another
Oh,
season.
just wait. They will.
If they do, I'm done. I'll catch it on the rerun, and I'll watch the episodes that are pertinent. But I think the most masterful show out of the list that I'm going to say is The Blacklist.
I'm wondering how long the Blacklist can go for.
I don't know, they kind of switched it up with the mid-season.
Yeah, he's just free again. Now they have to go and track him down. That could be interesting because that honestly, the way the show was set up, I mean, I like the Blacklist. I just the way the show was set up and the first half of the season went, I was just it, honestly, it was one of those things where it's like every this is the thing. They have the overarching story in there of the relationship between the two main characters. But it was almost like it was almost set up so that every episode was a Monster of the Week episode, which is who's he going to help take down this week?
Well, and now they had one that kind of bested everybody, and so now the government wants him specifically, and he still only makes contact with Agent Keane. And there was a question raised that everybody kind of figured out by the first episode, and then they left it vague before going to
I was
mid-season.
really hoping because everyone knows the answer to the question. I was hoping they would just answer it and be done with it.
And then he just dodges it.
Yeah. I mean, I'll still watch it. I mean, it's fun. It's just, and I think this is one of the ones, because they've been renewed for a second season, so I think the second half of season one is going to be different than the first half. I think you're going to get more of everything with the second half, which is a trend I've been noticing within the last couple of years with TV, is that as soon as a show gets a second, is renewed for a second season, generally that first episode tends to improve. Case in point is another favorite of ours, which is Arrow.
Damn, I forgot that one. And I've been watching that one
so
since season two.
The Flash.
The Flash, Canary.
I will say the first half of season one was hokey. Like, I had more eye-rolling moments and WTF moments and just this is stupid moments in the first half. I got in a comment, you know, a friend on, a guy that I follow on Twitter said that he started watching season two and he's like, wow, season two is a lot better than season one. I told him, that's because they stopped trying to be cool just to be cool. And now it's just good. So there was like a lot of like stuff in the first season that they were just doing because, oh, this is Arrow and he knows parkour and blah, blah, blah. And they stopped doing all that dumb stuff, which made my eyes roll every single time. So case in point is like the third or fourth episode where he goes to climb a building and he climbs up the outside of it when there's a ladder right next to him.
Wow.
At that moment, I was like, okay, I don't know if I'm going to be able to stick with this series or not. Because they had him climb the building parkour style because it was quote unquote cool rather than just have him use the fire escape ladder, which was right next to him. So
that's dumb.
But nobody remembers the first half of season one because I don't.
I quit watching season one.
So, all right. Just real quick, a couple of shows that I'm currently watching and enjoying at the moment. One is American Horror Story, which I've mentioned before. The stuff that they do with that show, where every season, you know, they have the same cast of characters, but they're playing different, or they say have the same actors, but they're playing different characters. Is really interesting, and I like the horror theme coming out around, you know, Halloween and stuff like that. Like, the first season was, like, a haunted house, the second season was a haunted asylum, and this most recent series has to do with a coven of witches in New Orleans. So, that's kind of fun if you like the scary stuff. Justified, which is another one of my personal favorite television shows, it's getting to the point where I think it might actually be better than Friday Night Lights. Season 5 just started for that, and of course I'm a big Timothy Oliphant fan, so I know Danner hasn't watched that one yet. Another show that I actually really enjoy as well is Person of Interest. Has anybody caught that besides me?
Nope.
It's the Jonathan Nolan created show for CBS. It stars Jim Caviezel and I think it's Michael Emerson from Lost. Basically, it is like the Ubisoft's Watch Dogs, but it's a live-action TV show. It's really, really cool. I think that's all I'm going to talk about as far as TV shows goes, because I'm looking at my list of subscribed TV shows, and there's 64 of them on here. So I decided to pick a couple right off the top. I guess another thing that I kind of picked up on, because I watch a lot of UK television, and I also watch a lot of sci-fi and FX and even AMC content. Are you guys, we talked a lot earlier about Monster of the Week episodes and filler episodes and stuff like that. Do you think television, like storytelling in television, is kind of broken by the American 20 to 25 episode season, or do you think it just depends on what kind of show it is, if there's enough stuff for it to go 25 episodes? Or I guess, is there a standard season show which is like 20 to 25 episodes that you think would be better if it was between 8 and 15?
I think a lot of shows would be better if they were between 8 and 15.
Well, like what do you think, like just name a few. Like, I'm pretty sure Supernatural would probably be one of those.
Definitely Supernatural. There's, like, always four or five episodes that are just complete and utter garbage. I can't say that about Arrow at this point. I don't know. Maybe
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
Yeah, definitely. I think that and Supernatural, everything else is kind of tying in at least halfway decent.
So the standard length of, like, you know, American broadcast television is like 20 to 25 episode seasons. It's like 6 to 12 or sometimes 15. And there's, you know, AMC, FX, and Sci-Fi are like in there. So do you think, are there any shows that are currently watching on TV that are in that 20 to 25 episode structure that you think would be better served with the
radio edit?
The one thing I have noticed this season, and it might be because I think a lot of broadcast television, they've kind of noticed that the quality of the 15 episode structure is generally better than what they can deliver. I noticed this kind of starting with we were just talking about it earlier. Once Upon a Time. I noticed this with Once Upon a Time, and there was another episode I think I noticed this with where they actually divided up the season schedule. So you have like a story for the first half, which is from the season premiere all the way up to the mid-season finale. And then when they come back and they do the back half of the season, it's almost like an entirely different episode. So it's almost like they decided to do like the, you know, you've got the season and then you've got the season and a half. But isn't Walking Dead still the same length? They did that last year with Walking Dead as well. It went off, it took a mid-season break and it came back, and it's coming back, and I think it's going to be 8 more. I feel like a lot of TV shows are starting to do that though. Like Person of Interest, I think, has gone through in the first half of its third season. I think that in the first half of its third season, it's actually gone through like 1.5 story arcs. Like they're in the middle of their second story arc going into the last half of the season. Which I'm okay with. I was just wondering if you guys noticed that kind of that trend with any of the other shows that you guys watch. Like I haven't watched Revolution. Like I haven't seen the mid-season finale, I don't think. If I have, I don't remember. But would you rather have shorter seasons just so you can watch more? But then again, I don't think sitcoms really have the story arcs, so to speak. I mean, they do evolve, don't get me wrong, but they're more one-off episodes. Are there any sitcoms that you guys are currently enjoying? Steve?
Well, I was going to say, for me, it's just Last Man Standing. I know that it's nothing special, but
I like the messages that are in Last Man Standing.
Oh, I love the messages and how all of it's portrayed and how all of it's kind of sent out. It's kind of somewhat reminiscent of Home Improvement, but it's like kind of more in your face. I don't know. I kind of like how it's just kind of ballsy to some extent.
I think my favorite episode of the current season has been the spanking episode. I just like how that was handled. I don't know. So, because that's like a hot button issue with today's parents.
Oh, we can't spank them.
But that's for another podcast. Maybe, never. I know we kind of jumped all over here with TV, but we'll be talking about it some more. I just wanted to let people know that we were watching television and what we were watching and what we were enjoying. So, if you're interested in hearing more, just let us know in the comments. Do we want to talk about CES real quick?
Yeah, we can do that.
Okay.
Ah, brave new world that has such putzes in it.
The Pullbag is GCRN's comic book review and discussion-based podcast. Join me, your host, TFG and Mike, and the rest of the GCRN crew as we make our way through the comics we are reading. Inside the Pullbag, you'll also find back-issue classics and origins episodes of how we got into comic reading. You can find the Pullbag every Wednesday on iTunes and on www.geekcastradio.com. Make your great escape into comics and jump into the Pullbag today.
Oh, yes. Think of the fun.
And welcome back to Altered Geek. I'm going to get into some CES 2014.
For anyone that doesn't know, CES stands for the Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas. Steve, is there anything that you want to bring up before I put Danner to sleep talking about TVs?
No.
All right, I can just touch on this real quick because I'm still kind of looking into it. Last week we had the conversation about 4K and about the curved screens and all this other stuff, the jargon that's actually coming up out of CES going into it. I noticed on my Twitter feed that somebody, actually Slash Film, put out the question, what is the point of curved screens? Like, what does it actually do for you? And they actually got an answer back, and it has something to do, basically the tweet that came back was, because your eyes are round and the way the light reflects off your iris increases color perception by 33%. So basically it has to do with your round eyeballs and just a curved screen being better for those. So I don't know. I think the curved glass is one of those things where you have to go and see it for yourself. Just like every TV, I don't think you should ever buy a TV just off of online research. I think you should actually see it in the store if you can have them let you play with it, if they will let you. I've also heard negatives about the curved glass, which means off-angle viewing is a lot worse than normal flat TVs. So there's that. Basically, you have to be sitting dead center, or the picture quality is going to degrade on you really quickly. Which happens with just about every TV that isn't a plasma or a rear projection TV. See? So yeah, other than that, I don't know. Last year, the 4K stuff or Ultra HD was like all the rage at CES, and the big guys like Samsung and Sony and everybody came out swinging, you know, with their 4K TVs, and they were all priced at over like $5,000. And you know, at the time I told my wife, I said, you know, I'm not going to upgrade I won't buy a new TV until 4K is within our wheelhouse. And obviously $5,000 is not in my wheelhouse as much as I would like it to be. Excuse me. It's not. But basically the big thing that I've seen in my Twitter feed from all the people that I follow coming out of CES was Vizio came out the door swinging with their 4K TVs. I don't know if anyone's familiar with Vizio. They're an American company. They're like Apple. They're an American-based company, but all their stuff is produced in Mexico or overseas. But basically Vizio always undercuts like Samsung and Sony and Panasonic on price by a lot. Case in point, an example I will make here in just a little bit. They came out the door swinging this year with their 4K TVs. Their first allotment of 4K TVs are going to start at 50 inches for $1,000. Which is compared to like a price of a reason like the same size Samsung. A 50-inch 4K Samsung is in the ballpark of $5,000.
Okay.
So you end up paying for a name with the Samsung set. They basically do about the same thing. In fact, there's some stuff that the Vizio set does that the Samsung one doesn't do. They have a different lighting array in it. It's actually LED backlit with local dimming, which is actually controlled by hardware rather than software. So it's lit from the back and there's LED zones that can turn themselves off at will instead of being like edge lit where the light shoots in from the sides, which is supposed to offer better contrast and stuff like that. I'm actually kind of excited to see that myself since the TV I have right now basically destroys the Dark Knight. So yeah, that was like the big thing. I was actually really impressed by that. I actually started doing a lot of research and stuff. The one that I'm actually interested in, I've actually started saving up for, was a 60-inch Vizio P-Series. It's a 4K TV, and it has all like the nice special features of the pricier guys like Samsung and stuff like that. But the really neat thing is there's a website out there called displaylag.com. They test a range of TVs for input lag Input lag is especially important for gaming. And I didn't know this, so I decided to look up what Vizio's display lag was, because I was kind of like, I've never really thought of a Vizio as a good TV. I mean, I knew they had the right price and the sizes and stuff like that, and they finally caught up with the bigger guys in terms of design within the last year. Otherwise, I really wouldn't be paying attention to them. But I went to displaylag.com and I went and looked up the top of the line model for the Vizio, the current Vizio that's the top of the line, and their display lag is rated as excellent at like 25 milliseconds. Compared to the TV that I have right now, which is a Samsung, it was a top of the line Samsung in 2011, and it has like an average display lag of like 50 milliseconds. Which I can't notice. I don't really, there isn't, average is okay, is obviously considered okay. But I was actually kind of surprised to see that this cheap, quote unquote cheap via price TV had an outstanding, you know, response time for throughput for video, which I wasn't expecting from a company that, you know, kind of knocks so many dollars off their price tag to get people to buy them. So I was actually kind of impressed what I found about them. Is the more I dug into them, I think I'm done with the Samsung entertainment products for
really
for right now. I mean, they're just, like I said, one of the reasons that I have the Samsung TV I have right now, I really wanted it because I wanted the look. I wanted that TV that was like all picture. I didn't really want to see the bezel around the outside. I just wanted to see picture, and Samsung was the only one that was doing that 2 years ago, and now Vizio has caught up with them. And the size that Vizio is offering, the 60-inch one, is 1,800, and a 60-inch Samsung was like $8,000.
Wow.
And the thing about the 60-inch television is, with the entertainment center that I have, it actually fits perfectly in that spot, like where the TV goes. Like, there is like literally no room from side to side for that TV to move, so it'll be like all picture in that giant hole. And without the bezel, the whole thing will just disappear, and I'm really excited to see that. So, and I got the wife to sign off on it. My enthusiasm for it just kind of washed over her. But I know there are some people out there in the forums and stuff that said that they might be looking at new TVs, and the 4K stuff is really appealing. And I know that if there's a Best Buy near you, I know that they have a Sony 4K TV that is set up. So if you don't really believe the hype, I suggest you go and check that out, because it's not a gimmick. The 4K stuff is not a gimmick in the same way that 3D is, because 3D is something that you might not notice. And it's really hard to come across good 3D, especially in the home, because like either the glasses are really chintzy and stuff like that, but it's very gimmicky at home. But an increase in resolution is not a gimmick. There's a definite, you can definitely tell when there's an increase in that, in the picture quality. Also, another surprising thing, Vizio has dropped 3D from their lineups.
Yay!
They realize that it's not something that their consumers care for. So their 2014 lineup, 3D is absent from all of their TVs. Although that, in some regard, that kind of makes me a little sad, because Vizio was one of the people that were doing theater 3D, which is, they were using the same 3D that you get in the movie theater. So you could take your theater glasses home with you, and you'd have an extra pair of 3D glasses. But yeah, they realize it's not something that their consumers care for, so rather than throwing it in as a bullet point and charging like an extra $500 for it, they just cut it from their sets altogether and pass the savings on to the consumer. So, and the entire time, the 2 years I've had my TV, I've never watched an entire movie all the way through in 3D. So, there's that. It's not really a thing. But, that's about all I've got. Obviously, we'll talk more about it as it gets closer and stuff like that, because I have a savings goal set up, and I'm hoping sometime like after the summer I'll be able to pick one up just in time for all the 4K remastered Blu-rays to hit for Black Friday.
Yay!
So, and I did order the 4K remaster of RoboCop. So, I will have that to look forward to.
Now, I love s'mores as much as the next guy, but I'm fresh out of marshmallows. What do you say we call it a night?
All right, this is something new that we're going to do. If you're wondering at the beginning of the show, we didn't cover any news like we normally would. We decided to hold off on doing the news so we could use it as an example for a future feature that we would like to add to Altered Geek Unlimited. It's a way to further interact with the fans and for you guys to engage with us and for us to engage with you. For the moment, I've dubbed it the 10-minute wrap-up. It'll be done at the end of every show, and as long as you guys, you know, want us to do it. What we would like to do is have you guys submit stories or questions to us, either on the comments or via Twitter, and we'll pick the 5 questions or the topics that we like the most, and we will spend 2 minutes discussing said topic at the end of each show. So 5 questions, 2 minutes apiece, is about 10 minutes, but of course resetting the timer and stuff like that and overflow, it'll probably end up being more like 15. But I thought it'd be a really fun way for you guys to ask us what we might think about certain geek topics, or send us a story that we might not have heard about, and we can, you know, if we find it interesting, maybe we can discuss it in the 10-minute wrap-up at the end of the episode. So, without too much more delay, I'm going to set a timer here on my phone, and we will start with the first one.
10-minute blitz.
All right, the first topic that we have are the high-res images of the Lego Simpsons house. So I don't know who wants to start first, but I'm going to hit the timer in 3, 2, 1.
Oh, it's insane. They have drawers. They have like the piano with all the mechanisms. They have all the, you know, the papers, all the things that are actually from the show are in it. You can take the roof off and see the inside of it.
The only thing I have to add to this is, does it have real working fireplaces? I'm sorry, that's an in-joke. Danner and I found this really funny Lego guy on YouTube who builds crazy, awesome-looking houses out of Legos. And he always ends up, no matter what he's building, he's like, we have a really fully functioning fireplace. I'm sorry, sir, you cannot light a fire in a Lego fireplace. What you could, you'll just end up burning the entire house down. You do not have a functioning fireplace. But yeah, no, I'm not a big Simpsons fan, but I am a fan of Legos. I love the detail that's in this.
I have to agree. If I could afford it, I would own it.
I think that's the way a lot of things go. So,
yeah.
Okay, that's it. All right. Reset. Next one is, steam machines look slick, but who's going to buy them? Starting in 3, 2, 1. People that hate Windows but don't like games? Yeah, essentially what they've done is they've just, we talked about this on Off the Cuff, but they've just essentially made a third because I wasn't counting Nintendo. They've made a fourth gaming console. With all the same restrictions, except it's going to be like the Wild Wild West, because you've got your $500 machine all the way up to your $1,800 machine. I don't know. Steve, you got 10 seconds.
I would say that it, for the most part, just looks nice more than anything else.
I will give it that. They have nice-looking cases, which is something you can't do if you're going to build a machine by yourself, in my opinion. Oh. All right, resetting the timer. Next up is the Steam leak about Batman Arkham Origins Blackgate coming to PC. And 3, 2, 1. Steve, why don't you go first?
So, I'm kind of excited about that, only for the fact that, isn't it slightly different story than the actual Arkham Origins?
It's
okay. Yeah.
It's it actually takes place after Origins, and in my opinion, I actually enjoyed it more than Origins. and I liked Origins.
Huh.
I enjoyed it more from of Origins because it had more in common with Asylum. Because I think it took the formula from Asylum, which was essentially a 3D Metroidvania game, and put it back on a 2D plane. Not to mention, it looked pretty good for a handheld game, so I'm interested to see what an HD remake looks like. And I'm really interested to see if it comes to either the I can just say the PlayStation Network. Because if it comes to that, it's either going to come to the PS3 or the PS4, or both.
I think that if people have the season pass, I think that this should be involved.
It won't be, because it wasn't on the consoles, so. Which is,
I'm saying, but it should be.
Yeah, a lot of things should
or,
be.
Or $20, you know,
it probably will be
download or something.
It probably will be a $20 download on PC. I can't imagine them trying to charge, which that game looks pretty good. But yeah, Blackgate, if it does come to Steam, if it's true, or if it does come to like Xbox Live or the in Steve's case, the Xbox Arcade or XBLA. That's right, yeah. If it comes to that, then yeah, Steve, it's totally worth checking out. Because, like I said, it's a lot of fun. And the extra skin costumes actually do stuff.
Yay!
So. All right. What is this? This next one is about who made the stacking computer?
It was Razer.
Okay. Razer comes to CES with their modular stackable computer. And we are going in 3, 2, 1... Anyone.
So what do you guys think about the Razer stackable computer?
I like the idea of it. I just have to wonder, like, do you buy I kind of skimmed the article for it. Do you already buy like the pre-made units? Like if you wanted to get like the newest NVIDIA GeForce, do you have to order it from them in their special little container? Or can you take the graphics card over the container that you may already have and slap your new one in it and it will just work? My question is it modular to the point where you need to order all the modules from the company, or are the modules upgradable by the user? Because I would hate to have to pay a premium every time I just wanted to upgrade something because I needed their special little case for it to be modular.
I'm not really sure how it's supposed to exactly function. I like the you know, stackable, and the fact that you can, you know, change the lighting on the outside and just the overall style of it.
I like the way it looks.
I love the looks, and I love the fact that it's less things to get dust and crammed in there.
And it's also because Danner was a big fan of the liquid cooled stuff. This one is mineral cooled. Mineral oil cooled, so apparently that's supposed to be better than liquid cooled. I'm not a chemical engineer, unlike my friend John, otherwise he could probably explain that one to me.
But I guess that the way that they're talking it is having slide out kind of bays that you can just kind of, it sounds like, insert things into those, and then they just function.
Unfortunately, CES is kind of like the North American International Auto Show. You're going to see a lot of cool stuff that's never actually going to come to market.
Mostly due to cost.
All right, and last one, because Danner wanted us to throw this in there. The link is actually gone for this one, so we just get to have fun with it. Full body gaming suit immerses gamers at CES, and we go in 3, 2, 1. Do you look like Tron? Did anyone see what this thing looked like before the article got taken down?
It looks like holding Nintendo Wiimotes and attaching them to a bunch of electronics in your back and your front.
Is there any mention about this working with Oculus Rift? Because that might be something.
Well, it appears they're trying to fund it from Kickstarter.
Oh, wonderful. Well, to be fair, Kickstarter's given us a lot of interesting things. By a lot of interesting things, I mean like 5. The Ouya. I think my favorite Kickstarter thing so far that I don't own has been the Pebble, and I fight myself every time I go to Best Buy. If it looked like... No, I can't even say if it looked like Tron, I'd be interested in it. But then again, I haven't seen it.
I don't think I'd care.
All right. So that does it for the first edition of the 10-minute wrap-up. I don't know if... Actually, I'm kind of interested to know if you guys had any fun with it.
I think it helps us from getting... I think that depending on the topic, we could always expand it past to maybe like 4 minutes or something. But I think that that gives long enough to give an opinion and not dwell on it.
We could do... I mean, we could go from the 10-minute warning to the... From the 10-minute... thing to like 4 minute warning. The problem is I wouldn't want to do like five of those because that ends up being like 20 minutes. All right, so we seem to be okay with this, just like the timing thing. Maybe we could go from like 2 to like 3 minutes because then it ends up being like 15 minutes, so that might be okay. I just wouldn't want it to be like really long at the end of the episode. Yeah, that's true.
That is true.
So I guess we could put it to you, listeners. If you like the format, let us know and submit your questions to us or your links to like news articles. Either drop them in the comment section for the episode or send them to us on Twitter. And we will weed through them and we will try and pick the five best ones that we think would be fun to talk about. So, and we will do them on the next 10-minute warning. So with that, I will let the host of this episode tell us where you can do all that wonderful stuff.
Well, as for feedback, everyone, thank you for all the feedback. Sorry we didn't get to it this episode, but we're again trying something different. And some of it we kind of already answered on the website, which you can communicate with us on the geekcastradio.com website. On this episode post, you can communicate on the Facebook fan page by searching Geekcast Radio Network. You can email us feedback@geekcastradio.com. You can contact us on Twitter @geekcastradio, #alteredgeek. My Twitter handle is @scp21, and yours are?
Mine is @boothninja81.
And hopefully in the next episode, we will have information on, or more information on the GCRN Awards, which everyone will be able to participate in. So until next time, as always, get altered, get geeky with the Altered Geeks. See you next time.
Bye.